Hey friends, welcome to One Tree Will. It's a podcast. I'm Will, and my partner Abby and I watch One Tree Hill episodes together, and then we talk about it afterwards. Abby grew up watching the show. Meanwhile, I didn't have a TV when I was a kid. It's a long story, but we had a garage sale as a family, and my parents gave us the option between getting a TV or a dog, and the vote was unanimous, and we got a Basset Hound puppy named Jabba, who was a really good dog. So I do it all again. But it does mean that I know absolutely nothing about the show One Tree Hill. So this podcast is going to, we're going to fix that. Abby is in Michigan or Wisconsin. She's somewhere in the Midwest. And I'm in London, and we're recording this on opposite sides of the ocean because love. Today is also our anniversary, so happy anniversary, Abby. I love you, and I love doing dumb stuff with you. Really looking forward to 187 more episodes. That's it. We're totally figuring out what we're doing with One Tree Will, so this episode is a real doozy, as I say in the podcasting biz. But hopefully, if you're like, oh, I'll listen to a recap podcast of a hit early 2000 show, you kind of know what you're getting into. So thanks for listening. Here it is. I don't wanna be anything other than what I've been trying to be lately. All I have to do is think of me and I have peace of mind. I'm tired of looking around rooms, wondering where I'm gonna do or who I'm supposed to be.
Okay, so the very...
Wait, are we just starting?
I've already started. No. You're recording, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm recording.
Here's the thing. We're just jumping right in. Initially, I didn't want to do this podcast because I didn't want to what I thought. I didn't want to waste. I was like, I do not want to waste time watching a bad show. But I really do like the pilot a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Great.
We're in an earnest, good way. Yeah.
We're in this now because I have to say the pilot is so good. Every time I watch it, I'm blown away. I'm like, first of all, this plot is absolutely insane. And the fact that anybody was like, yes, make that show. It's like Space Jam. You start watching Space Jam and you're like, I can't believe this got approved. But it's so weird that it's brilliant.
I was going to say it's like a Greek tragedy. But I guess Space Jam is like a Greek tragedy. Yes. So, but that has been my journey so far is that what I didn't want to do is I didn't want to watch something that I didn't enjoy that and then like make fun of it or have like a cynical take on it or something. Because there's an infinite number of things of content to experience out there. And I was like, how much of my life will I spend watching One Tree Hill? But now I'm in it. I don't know the name of the town. I think the
Wait, Will.
What?
Just think it through for a second. Use your logic.
It's a trio.
Wait.
No, here's the thing about
when we were planning this, I was like, you don't even need to remember the names of people. Like, if you need to call them coach, no. I wasn't talking about literally the name of the town, which is the name of the fucking show.
No, because the show is called One Tree Hill.
Yes.
But the town is just Tree Hill, right?
Yes. Yes, correct.
Okay.
Because there's only one.
Oh, interesting. Interesting take. All right, let's just dive right in, shall we? But I think that was like a nice surprise for me. We're already in. We're swimming.
Yeah.
I
was going to make you sing the theme song because I think you singing the theme song of the show could be the fun theme song for our show, but they don't have the theme song in the pilot.
Oh, that makes me really glad that there is a theme song. Oh, another thing I should say is that I know there are spoilers out there, so I'm doing everything I can to avoid everything like see where these actors are now, like even stuff like that I'm not clicking on.
It makes me really, really happy that you're tempted to click.
Yeah, so I've purchased the whole season on Amazon, and it really delights me that it, I was looking at it today, and it says, you own season one, and that was just like an encouraging thing.
You got this.
But I'm not scrolling, I'm like being really, I'm like moving slow when I'm online, so I'm being a little bit careful about not wanting to give anything away. But I'm glad that there's a theme song, because...
Yes, but we'll have to wait.
Okay, great.
We'll have to wait.
Watching it also reminds me that, like, all the things that I didn't know about in high school, like, there, like I would hear songs play in the pilot and have this, I would have a moment of knowing that that song should mean something to me, but, you know, I would watch it and it would just be like, oh, this is a song that people would sing along to, like, on a school bus, and I wouldn't know the words.
But I mean, yeah. do we want to have a quick first impressions corner, or do you just want to dive in?
I like a first impressions corner of the episode. All right,
can we keep it concise? Well, okay.
So editing is a big thing. It's like, I love the structure of the pilot. I think it's really smart. I think every cut tells us something about this world. And I've only seen the first episode, but I feel like I know all the characters, and I'm excited to see where they're going to go. And it feels, okay, so there's a scene. This was the one line that I did remember, and I wrote it down, is that the Luke's mom is, she doesn't want him to, well, I know we'll get to this, but when she doesn't want him to join the basketball team, and then they're out there, and they're looking at a photo album or something, and she's like, I don't want my past to determine your future. And that's what the show is about, I think. because you feel like everyone's about to, like, the cycle could repeat itself. I don't know. Because the parents just aren't letting go.
Hey, can I say something, Will?
Yeah.
Your grad school screenwriting education is really shining through right now. I'm just saying, like, you're clearly learning.
Does it feel worth it?
No. I gotta say, right now, I mean, this is, like, top level. Like, you know, I thought this was just gonna be goose. This is, like, real, earnest analysis, and it's...
Great.
It's very impressive.
I've got even more for you.
And I have to say, it makes me love you even more that you're taking One Tree Hill this seriously, because, like, I can't tell you how much this means to me. All right. Great.
Can I read you the first thing that
I
wrote
down? You're in charge. You lead me through the journey.
So I took some notes while I was reading, and I think we'll talk through, but we'll probably leave them as we go.
Okay. While you were watching?
While I was watching.
Okay.
Did I say reading?
Yeah. Really embarrassing.
I'm gonna
edit that.
I'm gonna cut that out. I can't wait to edit.
All right.
Okay. So first I wrote 20 shots, no less. Tension between dad and coach. And then I wrote, is the dad Superman? Christopher Reeves? Because I thought for a second, but I realized that I was, like, totally off. But he does look like Chris. He looks like Superman. I think that's part of the character, is that he's, you know, he's, like, a classically handsome.
He is privilege incarnate.
Right, yeah.
I wrote, this show is super about basketball. That was my first impression. The first, like, 5 minutes, it's only because it's not just one basketball game. Because if you start a show with one basketball game, then it's like, okay, someone in this show plays basketball. But there's, like, a kid just hanging out with a basketball. And then there's a basketball game on a court. And then there's a basketball game in a park. And you're like, wow, okay. One, my first impression of the show, b-ball. Okay, so tell us what happens, Will, because, you know, we want this podcast to be for people who maybe have never even seen this show and don't want to. So you got to tell us what happens in the show and then your reaction to it. Right now, it's just the reaction.
Just reactions.
So we don't actually know what's going on. So okay, you got to tell me as if I haven't seen the show. Tell me what happened.
Okay, it's the night of a big game, and it's we're sort of going back and forth between two worlds, between the world of Nathan, who's like a miniature Dan, sort of privilege incarnate, playing basketball in a court with a lot of cheering fans and sexually active cheerleaders, and then we cross cut to Lucas, who's playing with his friends, and Mouth, who I love, who we'll get to later.
That's because you are Mouth.
I think I'm Jimmy Edwards, his good friend.
Oh, wow.
And partner.
That's going to mean a lot in the future. Three seasons down the line, I'm going to remind you that you said you were Jimmy Edwards.
Oh, no.
Continue. Oh, boy. Uh-oh. Oh. Oh, this is that tension. That's that tension. I know things that you don't know. Oh, gosh. Okay, keep going. Oh, man. Can't believe you just said that. Oh.
I mean, I'm more of a Mouth. I see what you're saying. Let's go with Mouth. I just wanted to say that I... This isn't going to work if any time I say something where I'm like, I really like him. And you're like, he's a pedophile. We find out that he's a pedophile.
We'll see if we make it to season 3. You'll find out. All right, keep going.
After, I'm going to do the speed through. I'm going to try and do it in 2 minutes for the whole episode.
What?
Of like recapping.
Recap the whole episode?
Just talk through what happens. I'm just going to try and do it more quickly, because look at how long it is taking me to just say words right now.
Great, but we can't just describe the whole episode in 2 minutes. We'll walk through it.
Okay. Hold my
hand. We're figuring this out. Pilot episode. All right. Okay, so two big games going on. I thought what was brilliant, I wrote down brilliant exposition, was it starts like Nathan like on the court, and he has his basketball jersey. It says Scott, and then it cuts to Lucas on the court, and he's wearing the Scott auto mechanic sweater hoodie, the famous hoodie from the, you know, the famous silhouette of him in the hoodie, even though it's clearly not Chad Michael Murray at all in the opening scene of him. And I was like, wait, Scott and Scott? Basketball and basketball? Handsome boy and handsome boy? Pretty good. Okay, continue.
Then Nathan steals a school bus. Oh, well, they both. they both swish, swish. They both score. They're both good at basketball.
Yeah.
Let's hope they never have to play against each other. I'm getting the hang of it.
But at this point, we don't know what their relationship is. We just know they have the same last name.
No, they could be cousins. They could be cousins. Yeah. They could be an uncle-nephew situation. They could be married to each other. So then they're both like blowing off steam in their own way afterwards. We see tension between Coach and Dan, the dad.
Do you remember the coach's name? Because it's so good.
I just started calling him Coach.
Got it. Which is better than his actual character name.
What is it?
His name is Whitey.
Okay, good. Whitey.
So far, we've met a Whitey and a Mouth. Literally, his nickname is Mouth. And then there's another guy. Do you remember the other guy's name with the great nickname? Their other really good friend.
Oh, Skills.
Skills.
I love Skills.
Yeah. Okay, sorry. So there's tension between Dan and Whitey, the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And we see that both father and son are like, don't tell me what to do. You know, both want to be in charge.
Yeah.
Then Nathan gets in trouble for saying the name of this, like saying what the score is. The coach is like, keep playing hard. Nathan is like, this is the score. We're fine. And the coach is like, sit down. Don't tell me what the score is. Nobody talks back to me. I'm Whitey.
So, do you know my name? Say my name.
So Nathan.
Yeah, he has an attitude problem. For sure. And does he get it from his father?
Probably. I think so. I think it's genetic. I think everything that we feel is genetic. I don't think we have control over them. I think the characters are controlled by their DNA.
Wow. Okay. This is becoming something I did not want it to become.
And I think the world today. So then.
So, wow, we've backtracked. So he talks back and then they win. Mm-hmm. Because then he's like, oh, they start to lose. So then he puts Nathan back in.
Yeah.
So Nathan's very good at basketball, very good at b-ball.
And he knows it.
I just remember when they won after the swish swish, this random teammate on Nathan's team jumps so high into Nathan's arm that his like crotch is in Nathan's neck.
I just remember that when he goes back in, Peyton, who we'll meet later,
yeah,
is just like, don't shower. Don't even bother showering tonight.
Don't bother showering tonight.
The thing that confused me was I didn't know if she was like, we're gonna have sex and then you're gonna want to shower afterwards. So, or if she was like, I like it when you're gross.
I took it as that, which is really nasty, especially for a 16-year-old to say to a 16-year-old boy. Like a 16-year-old boy after a basketball game, that's not like cute sweaty.
It's like gross. Keep in mind, the 16-year-old boy has a nipple ring, which we'll meet later.
And is played by a 34-year-old man. All right, so they steal a school bus. And as they're stealing the school bus, speaking of music, Dashboard Confessionals, hands down, starts playing. So I think maybe while you describe the school bus part in this blowing off steam part, maybe I'll just quietly sing hands down underneath.
That sounds good. But then anytime I start talking about what's going on with Lucas right now, you need to switch songs to what he's listening to.
He was listening to Hands Down. It's all the same. Yeah. I think Peyton's listening to it because you will learn she has great taste in music. But okay, you go ahead.
Okay. So they steal the school bus. And in the school bus, we're not hearing this song. The audience, you know. And Peyton isn't with them. She's driving like a really nice car. And is trying to look for another CD. So she's kind of reaching under her, and the car is sort of swerving a little bit. We see Lucas bouncing his basketball. He's walking, and then something in the basket, in the getting too caught up in it. Then Nathan, a girl in the bus is like, oh, why isn't Peyton here? And I was also like, why isn't she with the rest of the cheerleaders? And she's like, where is she? He's like, she's not here. And then they kiss. So you're like,
oh. So I die happy.
Trouble. Then she looks up just in time. She sees Lucas bouncing his basketball across the street. Slams on the brake. Nathan looks up. There's a train coming. Danger for both of them. Quantum entanglement. They both slam on the brakes. They stop, narrowly avoid danger, and then, on the other side of the train, cops are there. Nathan is in trouble.
Nice.
Lucas takes out his headphone. There's a moment where he and Peyton really just, like, connect, and then she's like, excuse me, hello, and she waves him off.
Yeah, they look at each other for a long time.
For a long time, yeah.
Nice. And it's really good one.
And it's hot. I think what might happen every once in a while in these recaps is I'll just let people know when it's hot or not. So that was a moment where that's really where it's hot. Yeah.
That's also to me the moment which I wrote down, like, I just can't emphasize enough from my perspective how unbelievably makes me sick. I can't emphasize enough how unbelievably attractive Chad Michael Murray is in this pilot. Like, just I could talk for an hour about how he is the most I literally wrote down he glitters in the moonlight. His spiky, messy hair it glows like a halo. His skin is like luminescent. He has those pretty doggy angel eyes. In spoiler alert, giant spoiler for the show. He is never as attractive as he is in the pilot. It's all downhill from here, fans. Not even Chad Michael Murray can come close to pilot Chad Michael Murray. Something about just like the lighting. He looks like he just looks like an angel. So anyway, continue. Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I can't describe enough. Because also his personality, he's just like an angel in this episode.
Yeah.
What did you
write? I wrote, these boys are on the same path.
Mm.
I think that was Oh, and then I wrote in parentheses, this song is the one that Abby loves.
That was this one.
Yeah, because it's a love song, right?
Yes, it is. Most romantic, and it's describing, lyrics ever. Well,
it's about someone losing their virginity, right? Or yeah. It's like, yes. But it's like kind of awkward and fun, and is a big deal, but not a big deal, too, kind of. It's just like, nice, you know?
Wow, I'm deeply in love with you right now.
Okay, I'm going to walk through some of my notes. So okay. The cop lets Nathan off the hook.
Yeah.
So then I'm like, I've seen The Wire. I love The Wire. There's something going on beneath the surface of this town. There are power dynamics that we don't even understand yet. Like, season 2 is probably going to be the docks, you know?
Yeah.
I'm excited.
Well, this is the big moment, isn't it? Like, this is kind of the, what is, hey, grad school, what's the term for
the inciting incident?
Inciting incident, yeah. Because what happens?
As a result of the bus stealing, I also wasn't sure if they were playing an away game. So, because it wasn't them coming home. I think they were playing at home.
Oh, I thought it was an away game, and that's why Peyton was driving. Because she drove her car there and then was driving back.
That makes sense.
I think it was an away game.
Okay. Well, that...
But they probably use the same gymnasium set for every basketball game, no matter what.
Right. Okay. So, as a result of this foolish move...
Yep.
Or not, actually, you know, not foolish. Dan, who he's met. Not Dan. Nathan. Son of Dan. Is. Nathan of Dan. Is.
Of Dan. Oh. Oh my God. Yes.
Is, his tragic flaw is his hubris, you know, is his confidence. And so that's why he stole the, no, but I think that's.
Yeah.
You realize that, which he gets from his father,
yeah,
of like ego, and that's going to drive, I think, the whole series.
Oh, yeah.
Is he made this mistake because he's so confident and like selfish, basically.
Yeah.
And because of that, and it's no coincidence that it happened right when he was kissing that other girl. You know, he's cheating, he's mm-hmm. abusing his powers.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
With great power comes great responsibility. As a result of that, half of the team basically gets cut, so they need more players.
Yeah, and but who this, doesn't this get time, punished? Nathan.
Nathan so, doesn't get punished.
Yeah.
Also, his friend
Tim.
I actually love. Is it Tim? Oh,
yeah.
What did I write?
What did you write?
No. Where,
I think he's the one name? That jumps into the crotch neck hug.
Oh man. No, it's Jake.
Oh, no, Jake is a quiet hottie who wasn't on the bus.
Yeah.
He doesn't have a line. He just, like, gets a name. No, he's, like, the one other basketball player who gets a name this episode, but he does not speak.
I think he actually has one line, okay. Which is later, because I wrote it down, when Nathan is just like, I could win by myself. I don't need anyone to help me. You guys are actually just getting in the way. It's like having a bunch of people who are like, you know, blindfolded on the court with me. And Jake just goes, nice.
that is Tim, but yes.
That's Tim?
Yeah.
Okay. I like Tim.
Yeah.
So here's what we know.
Okay.
The inciting incident. We know that the basketball team is in trouble. Everyone really cares about basketball in this town because that's all we know about this the town of Tree Hill.
Mm-hmm.
That's all we know right now. And we also know that Lucas played basketball.
Yes.
So
it's more soon. Yep.
Then I wrote chill dinner. Haley is a straight talker.
I was just about to say, we meet my favorite character.
Yeah, Haley's great. I feel like there's going to be sexual tension later. I think one of them is going to fall for one of them.
So who are we talking about here? Walk us through
Haley
as well.
And Lucas. Yeah.
Love it.
So she's like a part of their family. You know who is also a part of Lucas's family is Uncle Keith, who is just good friends with Lucas's mother.
Yeah, so we find out that
Sharon.
Lucas's mom, single mom.
Carol.
Karen, you're right. Karen. You nailed it.
I said Sharon, and then I said Carol. That's perfect.
Oh. Oh, you didn't nail it, but I'm proud of you nonetheless. Yeah, so Uncle Keith but not she's not with Karen, which I realized mm-hmm. watching it this time that you at the beginning you think that Keith is his dad,
mm-hmm.
but he's not.
Yeah.
Yeah, Karen, Haley, Lucas, family unit, mm-hmm. love it. Yeah, and they have a very cute dinner.
Yeah, where they're like, he's reading Steinbeck, and he's very smart.
Oh, their big gift that they're very excited to give him.
Yeah. Winter of our discontent.
What did they give him? Do you remember what book?
Oh, isn't it Shakespeare?
Yes.
I forget which one, but I'm sure he quotes it later.
Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I just realized that I get to watch another episode. I got excited. Okay.
Yeah. So he just like loves reading, is what we find out. That he's like so pumped. They give him Julius Caesar, and he's just like so excited about it. And I was like, "There's no way he hasn't." Oh, yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. Interesting that it's not Hamlet. Maybe that's too on the nose. So then, do you remember how the big reveal happens? Because I honestly don't.
I think it's when Uncle Keith goes to drink with Coach Whitey.
they go to drink whiskey in coffee mugs with each other, which they're supposed to be like, oh, they're fun and they're friends. But the guys,
they're both alcoholics.
Yes, and the guys are in the locker room 10 feet away, like changing from the game, and their coach is like just downing whiskey.
I even missed that. I thought he was, I couldn't figure out what sort of work a coach would be doing late at night. He's like, oh, honey, sorry. I've got to stay in my office to finish my coach work.
Got loads of paperwork, babe. Sorry.
Got a lot of coach writing to do.
Yeah, so they're both alcoholics, but like lovably so.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And you see that Coach and Keith get along way better than Coach and Dan.
Yes.
Even though Dan was the superstar.
Yeah, because Keith and Dan both played basketball at the same high school in Tree Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa. Small town.
It's a legacy. And that's when we find out that Dan is Lucas's father, too.
Mic dropped.
Mm-hmm.
What a crazy idea for a teen drama show. It's so good. Okay.
So then, next we see Peyton and Nathan together off the court. And you realize that maybe while he's fun to have around in the big exciting moments, he's a real tool in the day-to-day.
Yes. I wrote real ass unhealthy relationship for real, because the amount of like high school relationships that are like that, just like completely one-sided where the guy's a dick.
Yeah.
And he's just like, come on, like, let's hang out with my pals. She's like, why can't just the two of us hang out? He's like, they're my boys.
And then he immediately gets mad.
Yeah. You don't understand my boys. They're important to me, my boys.
And then the next thing he says is, I could get anyone. And we know that maybe he does.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
God, he's a real dick.
I think he calls her a bitch.
Oh, I think you're right. And, like, I think that the idea is, like, oh, we both fight with each other because, like, she gets mad at him too. But, like, no, she is in the right. Yeah. He is in the wrong. He's an awful boyfriend.
Also, he comes in and the first thing he does is insult her music. She's, like, listening to a good song.
Right. It also or is,
not,
like, so
maybe
she's,
not a good song.
I do love Peyton. No, all her music is great. I love Peyton because she's, like, a popular cheerleader and yet is so not the typical, like, what that is. Like, she's, like, but still, like, what was cool at the time was, like, emo, indie music, or not really indie, like, fake indie music, emo, like, whatever. And she's that, like, punk, like, very vanilla emo, and it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that they're together is so confusing.
As Lucas says later, you're the least cheery cheerleader I know.
Yeah, he does say that. All right, what comes next? Keith. God, a lot happens in this episode. Continue.
Yeah, there's a lot of exposition, but it's done again very well.
So well.
Keith is with Coach Whitey, and he's like, you know who also plays basketball? Lucas. And they drive and they watch him. They watch him play.
Which, again, so, okay, this is our two lovable old men. This is what they do.
They drink.
They drink whiskey on school grounds. Then they immediately drive to go hide in the shadows watching 16-year-old boys play basketball.
Scout. It's called scouting. Scouting.
At like midnight.
Yeah.
That is what happens to like two of the most lovable characters introduced in this show.
So he's like, that's another moment where I was like, oh, hot. That's a hot moment.
oh my god.
Where, yeah. You know, so where were we?
Whitey's talking to Chad Michael Murray, to Lucas.
Yeah, and they're in sort of unhallowed ground. They're in the gym. And everyone, what I love, and I think we should start tracking, is all the metaphors of basketball. Because Uncle Keith is like, it's like watching poetry. I was like, it's beautiful out there. And, you know, the coach is like, oh, you know, I love coming in here when it's empty, like thinking about all the prayers that, you know, that have been in this place. To which Lucas responds, God doesn't watch sports.
So good. I wrote that down too. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Because a lot of their burns are so bad. Like, an earlier burn is, oh, I'm reading the magazine My Best Friend's an Idiot issue. Like, that's the kind of lines we're talking about. But then we get this, God doesn't watch sports.
God doesn't watch sports.
So good.
It felt like it was like the fourth wall is broken. He looks directly into the camera.
God doesn't watch sports. Does watch. Only America. Hey. Hey, CW fans out there.
So this is when, you know, in the classic hero's journey, this would be our hero's call to action and the refusal of the call, right? So this is where...
I'm just going to start calling you grad school. That's all you are now. Hey, grad school!
So Lucas has refused the call.
Yeah.
Even though we know that he's got to do it, you know? He's got mm-hmm. it. He's just got it.
Or else there's no show.
Or else there's no show. And we're just all living in Tree Hill. And people are a little... There's just drama. But there's no story. The next thing I wrote was, I was moved. And then I was trying to figure out what it was. And it's when he's playing basketball with Skills.
Yes! Skills!
The announcers are still there, right? Aren't Mouth and Jimmy there for like...
Mouth and Jimmy are always there. Sitting on the sidelines and like announcing into a recording device that they...
I think like a boombox. Yeah.
Yeah.
I really... Okay, I'm going to pretend you didn't say anything about Jimmy because because I want to be... I know I'll be let down, but I'm going to forget about it so I can enjoy that moment of drama when something bad happens. I feel like Mouth has got to have his own podcast by like season 4, hopefully. Hopefully things work out for him.
Yeah.
But anyway, this isn't about them right now. It's about Skills. Who we learn, you know, I think this was an important touch too, is like, they're not just friends because they play basketball on this court. Like, their friendship extends beyond that. You realize they've been friends for a long time, I think.
Yeah.
Probably always through basketball, but he's like, shoot for teams. And Skills is like, we're not shooting for teams. We're shooting to be your excuse. Ugh. I don't want to be your excuse. And it's like tough love. And really just, like, emotionally intelligent, just, like, a smart. And I love that Luke, like, gets mad. He doesn't realize that, like, this is a way for them being really kind to him. I like that part.
True friendship, yeah. It is a slightly, like, it's such a beautiful friend. Like, I love Skills, and I love that he's, like, super goofy and, like, you know, plays like kind of like dumb and just fun, but then when it comes down to it, he's just like an unbelievable friend, like an unreal friend. Like, I'm not gonna play basketball with you because like you need to take the shot. But like, it is a little frustrating because the trope that they do play into is, you know, because like Lucas is the hero and he's like the white, beautiful man, and then Skills is, you know,
like the wise magical black man.
Yeah, but he happens to be 16. Of like, skills is also good at basketball, and yet like he's not upset that like he didn't get asked to play, or is it like it's just purely like completely selfless, completely like putting all his energy into helping the white boy.
Well, when he's
be
like
the hero, but like, but he's does develop.
We belong out here. You don't belong in there. You know,
right? It's a slightly, it's like a slightly classed racial thing when he says we belong out here. You don't, because like Lucas is poor, but his like dad isn't, and Lucas is white, and like Skills isn't. So like it's a little, it's just playing into a kind of gross trope. But what saves it is that like you love Skills, and like that he develops, like you get to, he actually becomes a person and not just the enabler of like the white hero. So that's nice. Yeah.
Good to hear.
Yeah, we're not shooting for teams or shooting for your excuse. It's so good.
Immediately after that, Karen walks in on Lucas wearing a jersey. There's a wonderful moment of get out!
Get out of my room! Knock first!
Yeah, very unrealistic. He definitely should have screamed.
Get out of my room!
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Mom!
It's not what it looks like. I'm a Halloween character. For Halloween, I'm going to be a basketball star.
I was masturbating!
look, it's in my hand. I just finished. But then immediately, you know, she just knows, she knows what to do, and she,
well, she says, she sees him. Do you remember her line? It's so,
she says, take it off.
Yeah, just take it off.
She says, take that fucking thing off. But she censors herself, so she's like, take that thing off. She does that thing of like self-censorship.
Come on, take it off. Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, but then after
hurt.
That is where
very hurt. Yeah.
Where then she realizes this isn't about me, this is about you. When she says the line, I don't want, okay, let the record show, Abby has taken off her overshirt. I'm just getting down to business.
I'm getting a little toasty in my little bedroom.
Are you wearing your new overalls?
Yes, I am.
Nice.
Because they're making me feel powerful and strong. Just like Karen.
Yeah, she slays. She handles that moment so well. She has a moment of weakness, which I would say is her strength. And then, is essentially like, go for it.
And that's juxtaposed then with another parent-son relationship.
Which is a crazy scene of them weightlifting together.
Please describe this scene. It's so good.
So Dan and Nathan are weightlifting together. Dan is an adult beefy man. Nathan is like a scrawny but surprisingly strong basketball player, 16 years old. Can't stress that enough. They're lifting weights, and Dan is spotting his son. And he just keeps adding weight and talking about how his mom isn't there, isn't in town, and how he needs to keep his eye on the prize. Talking about, what do you think? You guessed it, basketball. So then Nathan is like, this is too much weight, and it's unhealthy for a 16-year-old to like to weightlift in this extreme way. And Dan very roughly tags him out, hops on the bench, and just starts like pounding this enormous amount of weight while talking about high school basketball.
And then they're done with their workout.
And they're done.
They each do like five. They like, what is it, a rep? What is this? They just like lift the weight five times each, and then they're like, all right. And they like get towels. Like, they got towels around their, they're sweating, they're talking. Like, they're done with their workout. It's over.
I like to think that they're done with the conversation, and the only way they can have a conversation is to be like, all right, let's go to the conversation room, and it happens to be where they lift weights.
This is where we talk.
We need something to do while we talk. And then Dan says, Dan is like, don't get distracted by my illegitimate child. Keep him out of the picture. Keep your eyes on the big picture. Your picture. You. You're the picture. That's sort of the gist of the line.
The picture's just you. This bastard's not in it.
Yeah. Yeah. And Nathan called. He's like, your son. And that's when Dan tags him out and starts lifting. It's like, he's not my son. And so that's when we sort of see his take on Lucas, which is pretty harsh, but which gets harsher later when he's talking to Uncle Keith and is like, I tried to get an abortion right when Lucas walks in.
That's a real... What a moment to just skip to.
I'm trying to keep you on your toes.
Yeah, that like really, really problematic abortion line. Jesus.
He's like, I told Karen I would help her. and then Lucas.
It's implied that Lucas and Dan never speak or see each other. Like, maybe it's been 13 years since he has, like, spoken to Dan. And the first thing he hears is that he tried to get an abortion.
And it's also like, no matter where in the conversation you come in on that, it's like, how did you get here? Because at this point, he's 16 years old. Who, even people that I can't imagine any situation where 16 years after a child comes into the world, someone is still like, you know, there was, you know what we were thinking? There was a time.
I can imagine one situation, and it's a situation where you have two sons who are both the same age and they're playing on the same basketball team. And you're an asshole. I could see you bringing it up then. I think this is the one circumstance.
So where Lucas somebody is older, right? Lucas is older.
He's older, but I think they're the same year of high school. It's implied that, like, there's some messed up stuff.
Did Dan, like, knock up someone up, like, right after?
Can't tell you.
Ugh, I'll find out.
You gonna find out?
I can't wait to find out.
Yeah, so then, but basically, Nathan wasn't gonna do anything, but Dan the man, pushes him.
We know, thank you again for listening. We know your time is important.
Hey, Gemma, we're really excited that you're listening to this. Hey, Mom. Hey, Gemma. Hey. Hey, Kim.
So then there's the ultimatum.
Yeah.
One-on-one. Play for it. We don't need to talk too much about that. What we need to talk about is Nathan does a thing where he, like, fronts, and Lucas doesn't move. And that's another moment that's hot.
I think what would be nice for listeners is to know that before you say that moment, they know that the scene is with Nathan and Lucas and that they're talking to each other.
All right. I see what you're talking about. So you're saying, like, that sort of nuance needs to be going into these recaps.
Yeah. Or, you know, by nuance, I mean, like, just a recap. Like, you know, what happened.
The thing about One Tree...
What you just said was... Okay, so the next big thing that happened, the ultimatum, the one-on-one, and Nathan moves and Lucas doesn't flinch. What?
Okay.
What does that mean?
Here's the thing that critics are going to say about One Tree Will is that really you can start listening in season two. season one, they're finding their footing. You can really just jump right in season two.
Yeah, you can say that about One Tree Will, but definitely not about One Tree Hill, because this pilot is fire. Okay, so Nathan goes up to Lucas. On the park court, because Lucas is either in his bedroom trying on a jersey or on the court in the playground.
Or reading a book like a zombie.
Reading a book like a fucking nerd.
Yeah, so... So Lucas comes up. No, I'm so sorry, everyone. Nathan comes up to Lucas. Tim is watching. They drove up. Nathan has a car that has undercarriage lighting. It's very fancy. And Nathan says, you know, one-on-one, we play. If I win, you know, you stay out of my life. You don't join the team. I don't remember what...
If he wins, like, Nathan quits the team.
Yes. Abby's right. Yeah. So they're playing only in the initial setup of the rules.
Yeah.
Whoever wins gets to stay on the basketball team.
Yeah.
There can be only one Scott's brother. Son? Boy.
What?
Scott? Is her last name Scott?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And what's weird is Lucas's last name is Scott too.
It is like weird that she.
I think it implies that she thought they were still together when she put his name on the birth certificate, which is pretty rough.
When they were born, when he was born, at least she thought they were still an item. Maybe in the hospital room, she was like, "Oh, we're still an item.
We're still a thing, right?"
And the nurse was like, "You have to choose right now." And she's like, "Just put his."
Yeah, I think we're a thing.
I think we're a thing. And the nurse was like, "Oh, really? How's it going?"
It's like, well, he's not here, but he's on his way.
He's probably playing basketball.
Yeah, he like loves basketball. He's just letting off some steam, but he'll be here. Put his name down. I'm not going to think about this
anymore. Exhausted from having this baby. Okay, after that, we have the scene where Lucas knows all the different types of birds and uses it to show us a little insight into how he's feeling. He tells his good friend Haley about the bet.
Yeah.
And that's the scene. And then we learn that she gets surprised by some pigeons, and he tells her, I think she uses the wrong word. I think she calls them like a herd of pigeons. And he's like, no, it's a flock of pigeons. or something like that. And then, no, she mentions crows. And he says it's a murder of crows. Because your boy's reading Julius Caesar.
Nice.
And then you learn that ravens, it's an unkindness of ravens.
Yeah.
Guess what their team is called, Abby?
The Ravens.
Yeah.
Grad school. Hashtag grad school. Hashtag drag race.
You know what else I thought about? Here's the thing to think about. Drag race.
What?
Uncle Keith.
I did not. I did not pick that up, by the way. That's brilliant. Continue.
That was on my third viewing, which we've talked about won't happen again. Uncle Keith.
Yeah.
What's his job?
Mechanic.
He has a tow truck. What's Dan, his younger brother's job?
He sells
cars.
Oh.
Uncle Keith is always cleaning up Dan's mess. Dan's mess.
Well, I've seen this show countless times, and you're just unpacking and unlocking layers that I never grad school.
Oh, also Dan Scott has Dan Scott on his license plate, which is just funny.
Yeah. The world will know. Also, I'm laughing at your notes compared to mine because most of mine are about Chad Michael Murray and how hot he is. But then I also have one about how hot Uncle Keith is, which is what made me realize that I'm a grown woman. Like, I'm an adult now because I find Uncle Keith to be so, so attractive. And when I grew up watching it, that was not the case. He was an old man. But now I'm like, oh, my God. And he's got the messy hair and he's got, like, grease. And he's just, you know, he's one of those men with, like, grease underneath their fingernails. Like, his fingernails, like, he has one black bruised fingernail, probably. Just a working man. He uses those hands.
One of my notes is Abby has a crush on Uncle Keith. Which I think you told me out of context long before we thought about. I think it was when you were, like, rewatching the show a year ago.
Yeah, like, a year ago, exactly. When I was like, oh my, like, I couldn't get over it. Now I'm back on the Chad Michael Murray train as well. But, like, the first
These
time,
notes are from that time, right?
No,
these notes are from a year ago.
I was watching this now. All right, that's when Keith makes a really great poetry thing.
Yeah.
Oh no! Wait. You go. Sorry. You take this one.
Well, I think that brings us up to when Peyton gets, her car breaks down.
Yes.
And Lucas comes to pick her up, and it's like. Obviously has a crush on her. She's the most beautiful girl in school. He knows she's off limits. But and he's like making really wonderful conversation is like, it was just a good scene, you know? Like I think that could have been a scene that maybe wouldn't have aged well, where it's like he isn't, but I thought he was like very respectful of her boundaries, but also helpful.
Yeah.
It's just, a thing I'm worried about so far is that he's maybe, like, too good.
Yes. Yes. So what makes you worried? Do you think he's going to stay? Like, what's your worry about that?
No, I mean, I think we've got to see some. He's a hero. We got to see him under a little stress. We got to see him crumble a little bit.
Yeah.
But this episode, it was all about he's a hero because everyone else is. There's some like shitty dudes. So I think they'll get a little bit better, and he's got a little bit worse.
Hmm. Interesting.
Oh, 29 minutes, 30 seconds. That's when you have Dan saying he should have gotten Karen an abortion as a gift.
Oh, yeah. The moment. So this is a trope that will start to come up in the One Tree Hill world. It's Chad Michael Murray hears something he doesn't like and gets really upset and like throws a tiny thing really hard. So he has
it's like the full arm thing.
Yes, he has the car keys in his hand. Like,
and Uncle Keith catches them.
And he's just like, he hears the abortion thing and he just goes, ugh! And throws.
But it's also
throws
still him.
The car keys.
A thing I realized when I was watching it the third time today was that he throws it, but it's also him doing his job. He's like dropping off the tow truck. So he's mad, but he's still like, here's the thing that I did for you for the work, because I'm your employee too.
Yeah, I'm upset, but also you gotta do my job. I'm on payroll.
Then Karen goes to Dan and is all like, back
off.
Oh,
yeah, wait. Dan says, I can't change the fact this kid exists. Holy shit.
And then he's like, but I have hired a man who will clean up the situation.
Don't even worry about it. I was never here.
Season 2, the docs.
Wrote, everyone is a small business owner.
Oh, yeah. That part's kind of nice, yeah.
Does everybody
what does Karen do?
She owns a cafe.
A cafe. Yes.
Cafe that has books because her son loves books and it's like a fun, cool bookstore. Mm-hmm. Or sorry, cafe. All right.
Then all caps, 31 minutes, 45 seconds, the nipple ring, nipple gate. Which I just love. And I hope it features big in every episode. And I'll be keeping my eye out for those shirtless scenes to see if the ring is in or not. Because those things heal up fast.
How do you know that, Will?
I read blogs. And Peyton was in there. She was showering with Nathan. And we see Dan do a double take. And we see the look on his face. The look on his face is like, are you kidding me, kids, these days? You know.
Meanwhile, he impregnated two women at that age. Yeah. So. But... Yeah, this is, I mean, I can go deeper into this in the future when there's more sexual scenes. Spoilers. Some sex happens. But, like, moments like that where she's just casually like, hi, Mr. Scott, and she's like, they were just showering together and they're 16, is, like, because they hire 25-year-olds to play, we just, like, believe that 16-year-olds are good at having sex with each other and, like, are comfortable with it. And they're just not. There's just the sex that real Nathan and real Peyton would be having is 2 minutes long, incredibly unsatisfying to her, very one-sided, and, like,
she makes a sex joke when the tow truck gets there.
Right.
He's like, name one thing that you're, what are you the best at? She says sex.
Yeah, it's
weird. And then she's like, I'm just kidding. And she was just kidding. But then in the next scene, she's in the shower with Nathan.
Yeah, and it's like, maybe she is like really good at sex.
Maybe she's just really good at it. Yeah. She has her webcam, and I'm not sure what she uses it for yet. Like, maybe there is naked stuff on it. Maybe. I don't know. Maybe that's just people talking. Maybe it's just boys talking.
Yeah, boys will be boys, right? Oh, gross. I hate that I just said that even as a joke. All right. Yeah, so this whole time, Luke has been like, I don't know if I'm even going to join the team. I don't blah, blah, blah. But it's the abortion comment that makes him decide to do the one-on-one.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that's completely reasonable. To be like, wow, this guy's a total dick. I'm going to go beat his son in one-on-one.
Everyone tells Lucas how good he is. So then there I wrote down Malph McFadden. I was trying to get some of his, like, patter to get a feeling for how he does it. Because I do admire him. And he says, we're in for a treat. And who doesn't love a treat? And it's like that. This is, like, good patter.
Oh, yeah, and then Jimmy's like, I love treats. Someone... Like, yeah. Ice cream, cookies. And this is funny because Jimmy is an overweight young man.
Yeah.
So we love those dessert based jokes.
I think Malph McFadden is one of the few characters in the show so far who could be a high school student.
Yes.
Who's like awkward in a way that is good.
Yeah. Who doesn't love a treat? Oh.
Okay. Which brings us to... Oh, they're playing at midnight. That felt crazy to me, too. On a school night? One-on-one at midnight? That's intense.
And there's, like, the whole crowd is there, like, you know, lots of people cheering them on.
And right before, Peyton asks, what does Lucas win if he wins? And Nathan responds, he wins you. And we don't know if it's true or not.
Yeah.
We don't realize until after the big match. And I thought they did a really good job of setting that up because there's just enough chemistry there. She's like ridden in the car. Like, it's conceivable that he would, even as a dig, have done that, I think. You know?
Right. But like, at the same time, when I heard that, I was like, if that is true, if Luke was like, I win your girlfriend, I would lose 100%.
Absolutely.
Like, that is like, that is a sick thing, unless, you know, he did it to prove to Peyton, like, he just views you as an object, but
even then,
still pretty messed up. And especially the fact that, like, there are three women so far in the show, but they're all, like, you know, sidekicks to men. And, like, it, you know, it's just a little like, okay, like, Peyton's like a strong, cool woman, but at the same time, she's in this, like, very one-sided, selfish relationship. In the fact that she's, like, for even 10 minutes, you think that she's, like, the prize is, like, an incredibly uncomfortable plot point.
Yeah. We haven't really talked about how basketball is a character in this whole thing, but I'm sure we will.
New York, more later. New York City and basketball are they're, like, characters in this.
The Town of Tree Hill is kind of like its own character in Montreal.
It totally is. It definitely is its own character in Montreal. But yeah, basketball, I mean, basketball is the love. Basketball is the enemy. It's the lover and the hater.
Basketball
we're at the big
basketball
game.
Basketball is the language that this town uses to think about itself. We are the language that the universe is using to understand how to love itself better.
Basketball is my favorite sport. I like the way I dribble up and down the court. A little bow wow.
Okay. Right. So it's midnight. The name of the game is one-on-one, make it, take it.
The name of the game is basketball.
The name of the game is basketball. They're playing one-on-one.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert, Nathan loves to dunk. And he does it. He's good at
it. He's a real good dunker.
Oh, man.
I've been told, though, that, like, dunking is kind of impractical. Like, it's, like, really only done in, like, movies. Is that right?
You've been told that?
I've been told that by, like, somebody at some point in my life. Like, dunking, that's kind of like a showy thing. Like, it's not necessarily, like, the best way to secure a two-pointer. That's what I've been told.
Abby, what hashtag should people on Twitter use to...
to tell me if that's wrong.
To tell you about basketball.
What about just hashtag one ball? Hashtag one ball. Send me all
Lance
you people
Armstrong
tips
is getting
and tricks.
Just all these messages.
One tree will balls. Will's balls. Hashtag Will's balls. Wait. Will's balls is the charity that we set up when this podcast becomes really successful and we start to, like, do philanthropy.
It's like dances.
Will's balls. Okay. Oh my gosh. Yeah, so it starts. And it's like, how can you make a basketball game exciting? You can't.
How can you make basketball something that people actually want to watch on screen?
Yeah, and that's like the big success of One Tree Hill. It makes a very boring sport very exciting. I'm joking. Basketball can be very exciting. The March Madness thing was very fun this year. Oh my gosh, Notre Dame women's basketball. Notre Dame. Oh.
It would be interesting to look at basketball ratings before, during, and after One Tree Hill.
Oh my gosh. Or just like the attendance of like local middle school basketball games. Like,
Abby, more people go to them. We're almost there. Children will be named after that block. That's something that Mouth McFadden says, which is good commentary. This is for my mom. That's the last thing Lucas says before he takes a step back, does a fadeaway jumper. Don't know if that's the right way to use that.
It sounded really legitimate.
And swishes, winning the one-on-one.
Yeah, 14-15.
14-15. Which means that they're going to play basketball together, because that's what he was betting. It wasn't for Peyton. It wasn't for Nathan to quit. It was for Nathan to stay on the team. Because that's just the kind of perfect person that Lucas is. Yeah. Not going to
perfect
last.
Hero. No.
Then I wrote the webcam. The final moment is Peyton staring into the webcam. Lucas staring back. They're looking at each other, but they can't see each other. They don't know that they're watching each other. Well, Lucas knows conceivably that he's watching Peyton because he's watching her. But it's a moment of, I think it's telling us, you know, this is where the series is going. Is there something between these two characters that we're going to see? And then my last note was the cheerleaders practice with the team. Because in the final shot, you see that it's a basketball practice. And everyone freezes when Lucas walks in, including the cheerleaders, who, as I took note of, practice with the team.
They cheer during the practice, yeah.
During the practice, to make it more realistic.
Yeah, really, really good. I would add that the end, I completely forgot. I forget this every time because I try to forget that every single episode usually begins and ends with Lucas narrating quotes from classic literature.
Oh, I forgot. Is this Julius Caesar?
I believe it's Julius Caesar.
Et tu, Nathan?
Yeah. But like, he's just like, it always starts with like, Shakespeare once said. Shakespeare once wrote. And then he like, you know, uses a quote from classic literature as you watch these high schoolers like stare at each other. Basically, there's a lot of staring. Like, there's a lot of moments of just like two people, like someone walks into the room, the other person turns. Like, can you imagine in real life somebody walks into the room, everyone turns and looks at them, and then just everyone just looks at each other openly. There's open staring. No one's like, you know, usually in like, you see someone like, oh, they saw me looking at them, and you kind of like start to pretend to talk or something. No, it's just like full hard on staring. Oh my gosh.
Hard on stage. Oh, I wrote, really funny.
The end is narrated by Lucas quoting a book that Chad Michael Murray has and will never read. Wow.
Okay.
All right. So, go ahead.
Now I think, as with every episode, we go into the portion of the show where I guess what's going to happen next and I say some of my expectations. Also, maybe I would say two thumbs up for the pilot. Two thumbs up.
Love it.
Really, I enjoyed this episode as a piece of work. It's a real piece of work.
It's a real, real piece of work.
No, I like watching it.
Well, I have a few questions. I have a few questions for you.
Okay.
Is that just quick ones? First of all, is Chad Michael Murray, and I might ask this, you know, every once in a while, is Chad Michael Murray a good actor?
Oh. Yeah.
Well, all right.
I think in the pilot, I think he really... Well, the thing is, he's matching the show. And I would say that's good. I would say he doesn't stand out. I'd say he embodies the spirit of One Tree Hill.
Wow. All right, second question. This is who said it?
Okay.
This is trivia. Who said it?
Okay.
First of all, you don't know me. Second of all, you don't know me.
Peyton.
Yeah, ding, ding, ding.
Nice.
Nice, that's it. Just thought that would be fun. I think maybe, like, maybe share, we were kind of talking about this before, like, maybe share, like, one thing that you want to have happen,
mm-hmm.
one thing that you think will happen, and one thing that you're afraid will happen, like a fear you have.
Okay. In episode 2, season 1 of One Tree Hill, there will be a moment when Lucas blocks a shot from Nathan. Nathan loses his temper and pushes Lucas. Lucas almost retaliates with physical violence. Coach Whitey runs out, physically separates them, and says, "We're here to work, not goof around like a bunch of little girls."
Whoa. Gendered, but tough.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think, well, that was very specific. So I think if you get that right, I won't tell you if you do or not. I'll owe you something. I'll Venmo you some beer money for you to go get a beer by yourself.
Yeah. We'll strive to make our recaps shorter than the actual show, if possible, is the dream.
Yes.
But so much happens. It's worth listening to. It's worth watching.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing you. To seeing you listen next week.
Yeah, post your photos to Twitter of you listening to the podcast, hashtag Will's Balls.
It's horrible.
If you post a picture of yourself listening on Twitter, we'll name a character on One Tree Hill after
deep cut. Thanks for listening to One Tree Will.
And just remember,
this is for my mom. Episode 1. You made it. Or you just did that thing I do with WTF now where I hit the little 15 second skip button until I get to a good part. Either way, thanks for listening. If you like the rad artwork, you should check out doot_doodles on Instagram, doot_doodles, to see more of the awesome art that Caroline Reedy makes. Really cool. Really awesome, beautiful stuff. Cool, that's it. Maybe next week will be shorter. See you then.